This week, we're taking a cruise aboard the RMS Majesty ocean liner in the 1930s. You're going to need one of those Carol Lombard-type clingy silk dresses and a set of tails for dinner, but I wouldn't wear white. This is a murder mystery, and you know how hard it is to get blood out of silk. Hi, this is Teresa from Books to the Ceiling, and this week we're looking at Murder Under a Honeymoon. This is the 12th book in the Mona Moon mystery series. Here's a little more about the book. Mona Moon and her new husband, Robert Farley, Duke of Brynelith, are on their honeymoon at last. They have just boarded the RMS Majesty ocean liner. The couple are looking forward to visiting Robert's ancestral English home, Brynelith, and then off to Paris before winding up on the Italian Riviera. After a romantic evening of dancing until the wee hours of the night, Mona and Robert discover their suite has been ransacked and Mona's jewelry, supposedly secured in their stateroom, has been stolen. Mona is horrified as some of the jewelry belongs to the Brynelith estate and were cherished pieces of Robert's mother. The ship's crew searches the ocean liner and a gold brooch turns up in a bartender's cabin. It is the same bartender who served Mona earlier in the evening. The only problem is the bartender has been murdered and the rest of the jewelry is missing. And now here is an excerpt from Murder Under a Honeymoon, a 1930s Mona Moon mystery. Mona Moon, an American, has married Robert Farley, Duke of Brynelith, and they are on the RMS Majesty traveling from New York to Southampton, Great Britain. They have just discovered the theft of Mona's jewels, which were used as collateral on a loan for the Brynelith estate, and they don't realize they're being followed on the ship and their lives are in danger. It is December 1934.
"Where the bloody hell is the captain?" Robert demanded.
First Officer Carruthers replied, "He's on the bridge, Your Grace. I'm afraid he's rather busy at the moment as the storm has been upgraded to a hurricane."
Mona and Robert glanced at each other regarding this declaration. The first officer continued,
"Can you explain to me what has happened, Your Grace?"
Just then, the ship listed to the starboard side before righting itself. Grabbing the back of the chair to steady herself, Mona waved at the sitting room.
"As you can see, Mr. Carruthers, our stateroom has been ransacked this evening. We've been robbed. It is most distressing."
"When did this occur?" the first officer asked.
"Must have happened between dinner and our return," Mona replied, perturbed. Mr. Carruthers said, standing firmly on his sea legs as the ship rocked,
"You locked your door?"
"Of course we locked our door, and the portholes were locked as well," Robert blustered.
Mona replied, "Mr. Carruthers, we had to unlock the door to enter, which means someone has an extra set of keys to our stateroom. Who knows what other keys he or she might possess?"
"There have been no other reports of any mischief, Your Grace."
"Doesn't mean there won't be during the voyage in the future," Mona answered.
"What has been stolen?" Mr. Carruthers asked, glancing about the disturbed sitting area.
Mona replied, "All my jewelry."
"Are you sure?" Mr. Carruthers asked.
Mona snapped, "Of course I'm sure. I searched the entire suite before we called you. The only reason the robber didn't get my bracelets is because I was wearing them." The first officer glanced at Mona's white and yellow diamond bracelets, still flashing on her wrists.
"Why didn't you entrust your jewelry to the purser for safekeeping?"
"You ought to know," Robert said. "You were the one who marched us off to be locked in our stateroom. We had no opportunity to take the jewelry to the purser's office when first boarding, and when we did, the office was locked."
"Can you tell me what was stolen?" Mr. Carruthers asked, nonplussed.
Mona answered quickly, "A diamond tiara, an emerald and diamond necklace with matching earrings, a pearl necklace with matching earrings, two diamond bracelets with a sapphire ring, an antique Egyptian collar, and several lapis necklaces, several gold brooches with gemstones, one in the shape of a peacock with multicolored stones on the tail, a diamond starburst, and a leopard brooch with ruby and diamond spots."
"Anything else?"
"Yes.
what you might consider costume jewelry, somewhat expensive but store-bought, nothing like the fine jewels. What would you estimate to be the value of the missing items?"
"Easily over £10,000," Robert replied.
Mr. Carruthers glanced up at the Farleys.
£10,000? He gulped and pulled at his collar. "You can document this."
Mona said, "Yes, we'll wire my lawyer in the morning and he can verify the pieces. He has a complete list and photographs, complete with gem weight, carats, clarity, and so forth."
"What will be done, Mr. Carruthers?" Robert asked.
"Nothing until the storm is past. Everyone is busy. I'll report this to the captain as soon as possible. He will order a search. I know you're upset, Your Grace, but the thief has nowhere to go. We are heading into the middle of the Atlantic. We'll catch him."
The first officer gave Robert a curt salute and left.
"What do you think, my dear?"
Robert asked Mona, who was picking her strewn clothes off the floor.
"I think you look a little green around the gills," she answered.
Robert put a hand on his stomach.
"I've never been good on boats and certainly wasn't expecting a hurricane. Our honeymoon is not off to a good start."
"That's not the issue, Lord Bob. The tiara and the emerald set were part of the Brunelleth estate. We must find those pieces."
Robert sat down in a chair while Mona curled in his lap, resting her head on his shoulder.
"You don't need to tell me that we're in trouble, Mona. Improvements we've made to the estate haven't had time to turn a profit. Those pieces were collateral for the loan I took out 2 years ago, plus what the estate owes you. I know you won't call for the note to be paid back, but I'm not so sure of the bank. Once they hear of the theft, they will want their money. I simply don't have it."
"I'll pay it if it comes to that," Mona reassured Robert.
Robert placed his hands gently about Mona's face, forcing her to look at him.
"No, darling, you won't. Brunelleth and its people are my responsibility. You've done enough for us."
"Now, don't be a crosspatch. I'm your wife. I should help.
And I'm a husband who needs to stand on his own 2 feet."
Robert shook his head slightly. "Sorry, dearest, but this is my problem if we can't find that jewelry."
Mona laid her head back on Robert's shoulder. "Then we will just have to recover the loot ourselves before the ship docks."
Robert stood Mona on her feet.
"Listen. Listen. No more rain." He walked over to the porthole, pulling away the curtain and opened it. "The rain has stopped, Mona. The ship's not listing. Let's go see the captain."
He made for the door until Mona pulled him back.
"Aren't you forgetting something, Lord Bob?"
"I don't think so. Come on, we need to jump on this."
"We are in the eye of the storm, Robert. It'll be calm for a few more minutes before it starts again."
"Then you think this is more than a bad thunderstorm, Mona?"
"I think we're in a rogue hurricane."
"In December?" Robert asked.
"It has happened before. Rare, I'll admit, but still, I think we should take precautions."
Robert teased. "Well, let's hurry to the bed then, as there is nothing we can do until the storm stops. I'm afraid neither one of us is going to catch much sleep tonight, tossing and rolling with the waves. Let's hope we don't hit an iceberg."
"That's not funny, Robert."
"Sorry, dear. The comment was in poor taste."
Mona bit her lip before replying.
"No, I'm sorry. My nerves are raw from this storm, and I've felt odd since dinner. A bit dizzy. Yes, let's retire. As Mr. Carruthers said, where could the thief go off to? We'll see the captain first thing in the morning. There's nothing we can do tonight."
Robert wedged a chair under the doorknob of the stateroom door. "That should keep any scoundrel out." He escorted Mona to their bedroom after turning out the lights in the sitting area. Neither one saw a stranger cup his hands together to better press his face against the glass and peer into the pothole where Robert had forgotten to close the curtain. Only lightning from the storm moving in again lit up the room and the stranger's face. For a brief second, the stranger saw the disarray with the steamer trunks and the ransacked room. He seemed pleased and hurried back to his cabin. And that was an excerpt from Murder Under a Honeymoon. Now here's a little more about our author. Award-winning author Abigail Keem writes the Mona Moon mystery series, a rags-to-riches 1930s mystery series which includes real people and events into the storyline. I am a student of history and love to insert historical information into my mysteries. There is an addendum at the end of the mystery to give more information. My goal is to entertain readers, but if they learn a little something along the way, well, then we are both happy. Miss Abigail currently lives on the Palisades bordering the Kentucky River in a metal house with her husband and various critters. Now, as I said, Murder Under a Honeymoon is the 12th installment in the Mona Moon mystery series, and it looks like a 13th book that's on its way. If you want to find more out, you can look her up at her website at abigailkeem.com. Also, I will be leaving links in the podcast so that you can pick up your copy of Murder Under a Honeymoon. If you enjoyed this podcast, please tell others about Books to the Ceiling. You can also follow or subscribe on Spotify or any podcast platform that Books to the Ceiling is on. We're on Apple and we're on Amazon Music as well. Thank you so much for stopping by, and I hope to see you again next week at Books to the Ceiling.